And this person was hurt along the road. And there was a preacher who came by. I mean, you would think that that's a good person to be coming by if somebody's hurt, right? I mean, second only to a doctor. But a preacher came by, and so the preacher didn't have to walk past the guy. The preacher walked over to the other side of the road and then kept going. And there was this here's where the person that nobody likes comes in. So then there was this person that everybody looked down on. But this person, he was from a place called Samaria. And so people from Samaria are called Samaritans. And so this Samaritan, he stopped to help the person. We could have played a game like there was a preacher and a brother and a who do you think helped the person that was hurt? But it was the Samaritan. And he took the person for help, and he said to the people, take care of him, and then if he needs anything more, he left money, and he said, if he needs anything more, when I come back, I'll pay you. But make sure this guy gets well. You hear what he did? He took him to get help. And so Diane and I often, and several people of our church, have gone to work with this group, and they're called Samaritan's Purse. And it's called Samaritan's Purse because of the Good Samaritan and because of the promise that he would be back. He would be back to help. And so, I know you guys aren't going to understand it right now, but I hope you'll never lose this. I hope that you'll put it up somewhere, and as you grow, you will investigate this a little bit further, because it's written on there, and that as you grow, and I'll be long gone, and I'll be too old to even remember anything, but you guys are going to see this, you're going to remember this day, and you're going to say, God had plans for me back when I was, how old are you? 7, 4, 6, 5. Listen, the fact that you're even here today to get this is because God has plans for you, and He wants you to have this. Okay? So what color do you want? Red, orange, or blue? Blue. You can't have blue. You probably need to pick a different one than your sister, right? Because if you pick the same color and then somebody loses one, you won't know whose is left. You can have blue if you want it. I'm just thinking as a parent. You want blue? Orange, red, or blue? Orange, red, or blue? Orange. Oh, excellent choice. Blue? You both still good with blue? Okay. Let me pray. God, you know the plans you have for them. Plans to give them a hope and a future. We pray that you would just grab a hold of them, and even as they grow and rebel and turn, we pray that you would just keep a hold. We pray for their future and their future with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Marshall. You lost something. Marshall, you need a flip-flop? You look like the kids in Haiti, doesn't he, Diane? They never throw their flip-flops away. All right. You may stay seated today if you'd like, and we'll sing Spirit of the Living God. understand. Does anybody ever have trouble with their internet? You did. Oh, how did we get a new box? Okay. Well, that's not going to work. It's not the computer that's not working now, it's the internet. And just the Wi-Fi. Yeah. All right. Well, so we've had two very different messages this morning. You know, as I'm looking out here, last night, God talks to me all the time, but I never hear His voice, if that makes any sense to anyone. I feel like I always want to be perceptive to the Spirit, but it's not like it's as simple as He would say, Scott. So just, Holy Spirit, lead me. So this morning at 8:30, I spoke about unity. And one of the coolest things about a Samaritan's Purse trip is the unity. It's not a denomination. It's a group that was started and then Franklin Graham took it over. And they have an $800 million budget. And it's all donations. If you, $800 million, it doesn't sound like very much in our society now, because, I mean, the country has a $20 trillion debt, but $800 million is almost $1 billion. All of that money is donated. And so, Diane and I love Samaritan's Purse. Because everything is about Jesus. I feel like I don't even feel that way about the United Methodist Church. And I know I'm a United Methodist pastor, but I'm just being honest with you. I think if someone told the United Methodist Church, listen, you can go help those people, but you can't say the name of Jesus, I think they would say, okay, we like helping people. Let's go do it. And they would just go help people. And they would not even try to sneak in the name of Jesus. And they would leave, feeling good about themselves. And Samaritan's Purse only does it because of Jesus. And they said, we're not a humanitarian organization. We are an evangelical organization who happens to reach people through humanitarian work. If we can tell people about Jesus, we'll build them a house. And they do this disaster response just so they can tell people about Jesus. And the donors want people to hear about Jesus. I want to tell you one thing about Samaritan's Purse, and then I want to share a couple stories from our week. And then I'm going to hope the Lord does something in here. Our district superintendent, I don't think I told you this, I might have. Our district superintendent, I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and he was in Greenbrier County within the first 2 weeks of the flooding in Charleston. And he said that the United Methodist Church had put out a call for volunteers. Well, we didn't go with the United Methodist Church because they don't know what they're doing. They don't do this every day. There's an emergency. We want to help. So volunteers come down. And the DS said the volunteers were coming. The church was ready. And they didn't have the people lined up to help. They didn't have the tools they needed. the DS is telling me this. And he said, a Samaritan's Purse truck comes by, and somebody gets out, and they come and talk to us, and they say, hey, how's it going? You know, Samaritan's Purse does this all the time. And so the United Methodist Church said, it's going a little rough. We don't have the tools we need, and volunteers are coming in. And so the DS didn't say it exactly in these words, but what I heard him say was, so Samaritan's Purse just unloaded their truck. They took all the tools off their truck. The DS tells me this. Left them with us, and they drove away. Who does this? I told them in Charleston, I don't think the United Methodist Church would do that for you. We would want the tools so that we could do it, so that we could get in the newspaper about it. I know, I'm probably going to get fired after this. If you really don't like me, you can go call the DS and tell him what I said, and he'll probably call and yell at me. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like that we're selfless, and like Samaritan's Purse, it wasn't in the newspaper. I only knew about it because the DS told me. Samaritan's Purse didn't even tell me. Because they don't want the glory. And it's one of the things that we love about this group. And so, this week, Diane and I, I took Monday through Friday, I took vacation days. And we got back yesterday afternoon, and I worked until I don't know what time, until I fell asleep last night. And I thought I took vacation days so that none of you could complain that I'm gone so much. So that's why I'm taking vacation days. And I had a little bit of peace about taking vacation days Monday through Friday to go down there to cook. Normally, if I'm leading a mission team, it's hard work. Because, you know, you've got different, sometimes you have to keep peace between people who, just different things. But this was different. So I get to Charleston, and Diane and I cook for the week, and there's a long story I could tell you about how that happened. But I don't have time. But we're cooking for the week. For early in the week, it was 60 to 80 people. Late in the week, it was probably only 30 or 40 people. And I'm in the bathroom filling up soap dispensers. I'm guessing in the women's bathroom, there's always a woman who will fill up the soap dispenser. You don't have to be working there to do it. If a woman sees soap there in a big jug and the soap dispenser is empty, it just gets filled. It doesn't happen like that in the men's room. They'll unscrew the lid, put some water in it, screw the lid back on, and pump it, and they're satisfied. That's the 50% that wash their hands. But that's another sermon. I don't have time to go down that road either. So I, as staff this week, I'm filling the soap dispensers, and the Lord spoke to me. I didn't hear his voice, but he was plain as day. And he said, you know why I wanted you to take vacation week this week? And I said, yeah, Lord, it's because you didn't want people to complain that I'm gone too much. And he said, I don't care if people complain. They've been complaining for thousands of years. And they're going to complain until I send Jesus back. And when I send Jesus back, there's going to be complaints. As a side note, I heard a preacher preach one time about the feeding of the 5,000. So there were two miracles that day. One, 5,000 people got fed with just a little bit of food. And two, everybody was satisfied. The Lord said, no, that's not why you took vacation time. You took vacation time because you ask people to go on mission trips and take vacation time. You're going on a mission trip for me, and that's why I wanted you to use your vacation time. Does that make perfect sense? I couldn't have thought of this. It was the Lord. I knew what to do. I didn't know why He was having me do it. Then he let me know. You know, we're all on a need-to-know basis. I didn't need to know why. Because if I'd asked the administrative board last week, a week ago, whatever it was, I know they would have said, go with our blessing. They have been so gracious to me. They really have. So Diane and I were there this week, and there was a guy. You know, there's a few people in the church who just give me money and tell me to bless people. Just give me money and say, go bless somebody. And they don't just give it to me. I know a couple other people who people have given money to and say, go bless somebody with this. Somebody gave me $1,000. Somebody gave me $1,000, told me to take it to Charleston because somebody was going to need it. It's not money run through the church. It's not money that you would ever know about if I didn't tell you. It's between me and this person. But it was such an awesome week that I had to share it with you. And I didn't share it with 830 Church. So I've got $1,000 in my pocket, and I'm thinking there's somebody who's going to need it. And do you know what that does? It raises your antennas up. I did this morning at 9:30 because I did share at 9:30. I went, do you know what this is? And they said, yeah, horns. And I said, no. I said, no, it's antennas. I had my antennas up this week. Who needs $1,000? I mean, you don't just go around asking people, because three-fourths of the people that you talk to would say, well, I really do. Man, I got this credit card debt that you wouldn't believe. I need $20,000. No, you get your antennas up, and so I'm on the lookout. So we go to 7-Eleven. There's two guys working there, and to make a long story short with them, I give each one of them $50. They're working the night shift at 7-Eleven. I said, somebody gave me this to bless people, and I just want to bless you two with $50 each. And the one guy said, man, I'm glad I didn't call off today. So how much money I got left? $900. Stay with me. There's this girl who's 35 years old. She doesn't work. She's like a hippie-type child. If she needs a little bit of money, she makes a quilt, and she sells it to friends. She has a friend that lets her stay with her. So the girl pays the friend like $50 a month to have a home to go to if she needs it. And if she doesn't go there that month, it just costs her $50. If she goes and stays some, she gives the girl an extra $20. So she pays $70 rent if she stays at the place, and she pays $50 rent if she doesn't. And the reason she doesn't stay at the place is because she follows Samaritan's Purse around and just volunteers, because that's free. You just have to pay for your gas to get there. So the girl was in Houston working with flooding. She came up to West Virginia. And she's telling me her car got hit in Houston. It's being fixed in Texas. And the girl's been using a rental car in West Virginia. And she says, this is on Wednesday, she says, I'm leaving Friday morning because my car's done and I got to get this rental car back. This $29 a day is killing me. And so I was going to leave tomorrow morning You know, this is Wednesday. She says, I was going to leave tomorrow morning, which would be Thursday morning, but she said, I'm not leaving until Friday morning. And I feel like God telling me, here's a girl you need to give some money to. So I gave her $200. Told her that someone gave me some money just to bless people who I felt needed it down there. She said, you don't understand what this will mean to me. She said, this will like pay all my expenses for 2 months. $200. Or maybe she said for a month. I can't remember what she said. 2 months. So then, Thursday morning, I gave that to her Wednesday night. Thursday morning in the kitchen, I say to Diane, I think I should have given Amy $200 more. And Diane says, well, you should call so-and-so who gave you the money and ask him. And I said, no, I know what they'd say. Give it to her. And so I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do, Lord. You know there's this story of Gideon in the Bible. Gideon's supposed to go do something, and he says to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to set out this piece of material. And if it's wet in the morning and the rest of everything around it's dry, I'll know I'm supposed to do that. I don't know if that's how we're supposed to do the Lord, but sometimes I do that. And so I said, okay, Lord, if I'm supposed to give her $200 more, I'm going to walk over to the parking lot. It's 8:37 a.m. She should be gone out on the work site. And if she's in the parking lot, stay with me here. If she's in the parking lot, I'll know I'm supposed to give her $200 more. And if she's not, then I wasn't. And I walk over, and I look, and there's three people standing right in the middle of the parking lot, and one of them's Amy. And I said, hey, Amy, come here for a second. And she came over and to the side, and I said, okay, I'm pretty convinced the Lord wants me to give you $200 more, which would give her a total of $400. And she said, oh, I don't think he does. I don't think he wants you to give me $200 more. And I said, yeah, I think he does. And she said, why do you think he does? And I said, because I told him if I came over here and I saw you in the parking lot at 8:37, you should be out on the job site, you part-timer. I said, you should have been long gone from here, but you're still here, and so he wants me to give it to you. And she said, well, let me tell you something. She said, no, you're not supposed to give it to me. Why do you think you're supposed to give it to me? And she said, let me tell you something. She said, I just got back from Walmart. I went to Walmart to buy material to make these folks that I've been working with this week a quilt. Did I tell you she makes quilts? Okay, she makes them out of used Christian t-shirts that she goes to Goodwill and gets. And she said, so she had used some of the money that I gave her on Wednesday to go buy the material at Walmart to make the quilt. This is, none of this gets shared down there. To make the quilt for these people that she'd been working for, whose home she'd been working for this week. And so she said, I just pulled in. I hadn't been in the parking lot for 2 minutes when you walked it over. And now I'm getting ready to go out to the job site. She said, so I guess you are supposed to give me that money. She said, give me the address so I can send that person a thank you note. I said, they don't want a thank you note. They don't even want you to know who sent it. And so she says, let me tell you a story. And I said, okay, let this be your thank you note. Let me record you. And she said, well, it's not a story about what just happened. And I said, I don't care. And that's what I was trying to get to come up, but I can't. If you get on Wi-Fi on your phone here, we're having trouble with it. I'm aware of it, and I'm working on it. And so I can play the sound, though, through my phone. So listen to Amy's testimony.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay, so I was driving from Rosenberg, Texas to Angleton, Texas. I was getting ready to start working with Samaritan's Purse. And I had gone over my finances, and I realized I was getting a little short on cash. So I started praying. I said, Father, I'm running a little low. I need gas money to get back to Kentucky. I'm just going to trust you with this. And I just let it go. So I'm driving. It's early in the morning. And suddenly I drive around a corner, and the sun is shining right in my face. So I pull my sun visor down, and money just cascades into my lap. In my car. I'm sitting there just in shock. Like, driving in shock. And then I was like, show off. It was just so cool. It was like, he knew my need before I even asked for it.
How cool is that? Show off.
I say that all the time. She said, she looked up at God. She was by herself. And she looks up at God and says, show off. Money just falls from above her visor. Now listen, I'm a logical, scientific person. I believe somebody put that money there. Just, I believe she touched somebody's heart. I don't think God just made the money appear and it fell in her lap. You may think that, and that's fine. You can believe what you believe about it, and I can believe what I want to believe about it. I believe somebody put that money there, knowing that she would find it, and it would be a blessing to her, because she's a blessing to so many. Don't you think that's what happened? And at that very moment, God puts the sun in her eyes, makes the road go that way. When they built the road, God knew that he would need the road built just that way, that the sun would be coming up to shine in her eyes, so she would flip down that visor so that she would have the money fall in her lap. How much money do I have left? $500. Who just said that? Thank you for paying attention. I know you're all paying attention. I'm just kidding. $500 left. It's Friday night, and I can't sleep. And I'm awake, lying on my cot, because we were sleeping in a children's Wednesday night Sunday school class room. And I can't sleep, and I'm up, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you want me to give the rest of the money to Brent. Brent is a guy that looks like Jesus, like you picture Jesus. Long hair, he's got a big beard. And I said, okay, I'll check him out in the morning, Lord. Now let me go to sleep. So I go to sleep, and the next morning I see Brent. This is Saturday morning, yesterday morning. I'm in the kitchen making French toast for some of my closest friends, including Ellen. And I say, hey, Brent, do you have a minute? And he said, yeah. I said, come in the kitchen. And he came in, and I said, tell me your story. And he said, what do you mean? I said, just tell me your story. How did God get you here? And he told me about growing up in the church. He told me about falling away from the Lord. He told me about going to work in, it wasn't the oil field, but something to do with the ocean and saving animals in the ocean. But it was a party crowd. And so he said he really got into partying and he really got away from the Lord. And then he said in 2006 the business that he was in was thriving, and in 2006 it went bankrupt. He lost everything, and that brought him back to the Lord. And so for the last 10 years, he's just been trying to follow the Lord. Great story. And when he was done, he said, well, man, he said, I gotta go to shower, because he said man a lot. He said, well, man, he said, I gotta go to shower. And I said, okay. I said, I'll see you in 20 minutes for breakfast. He said, cool. Listen, my antennas are up because I got $500 that I'm responsible for. And I felt like he's not the guy. And you're going, yeah, I thought you were going to say, so I gave him the money. No, he wasn't the guy. I just didn't have a piece about it. So I've still got the money, $500. And I see, so everybody gets eaten and everybody's sitting down, and then we start a devotion. We have church every morning on a mission trip. And you who've been on them, right? Every morning on a mission trip, we have church. And so a person's up there speaking. I see my wife sitting out there at the table with David Pirtle. Those are only two at the table. I've grown to respect David Pirtle. I used to not like him at all. He's with Samaritan's Purse. Our first mission trip, 2 weeks into our mission trip here, 2 weeks after we started here, we went to New York on a mission trip. David Pirtle was the guy. This was our first Samaritan's Purse mission trip. David Pirtle was our construction site supervisor, and he was a butt. He was hard to get along with. I was doing trim around the doors. Tear it down, not good enough. Tear it down, not good enough. He was not polite. He was mean. I didn't like him. And when we came home, I said, everybody at Samaritan's Purse was so great, but David. Then the next time we went to New York, David's still there. Our son Matt spent 3 hours on a roof with him, listening to him preach for 3 hours, because David loves the Lord. I came to find out. So here's this guy who I've not had good feelings about in the past. We're fine now. Sitting at the table with my wife, and I just go up and say, hey, buddy, what are you doing sitting with my wife? I want to see if anybody's still with me. I go sit down. He's got this piece of cardboard this long that he has all these scriptures written on, and he's got little notes by each one, and he's writing them all down in his notebook. He had been with the Lord, and he didn't have anything to write with, so he took a piece of cardboard, a cardboard box, and he wrote all this stuff down. He's transferring his notes. And I'm going, him, Lord? You want me to ask him, Lord? That's what I'm saying. Okay. So I type this note on my phone, and I show it to David, and I've still got this note here. Do you need money? ? Honestly, tell me if you do. Because we're in the middle of a devotion. And he looks at me like, what are you talking about, Willis? And I said, answer me when we're done here. We'll talk about it. So we get done. And he said, what do you mean, do I need money? And I said, do you have anything hanging over your head? Is there anything that's keeping you from serving the Lord? Because this guy, he is a disciple-making machine. Diane, did I tell you guys that Samaritan's Purse said the hand of the Lord, the hand of Satan was over Charleston? Does anybody remember me saying this, or did I just say it downstairs? Well, I told him downstairs that the people in Charleston, they don't even know if they're going to do a rebuild, because they said Satan has control here. And Diane said she thinks that Satan's spell got broke when David Pirtle came from Houston two to three weeks ago. She's crying right now. And he said, what do you mean, do I need any money? And I said, I don't know. I said, I've got some money, and I think I'm supposed to give it to you. And he said, I don't have anything hanging over my head. But he said, I haven't got a paycheck since I left New York. I said, what are you talking about? You're working for Samaritan's Purse right now. And he said, no. He said, I'm not on staff. I'm just volunteering. He's driving the Samaritan's Purse truck. He's leading teams out, but he's doing it all volunteer. He said, when I was in New York, the Lord told me to save all my money, so I didn't spend anything. And he said, and sometimes if I'm with Samaritan's Purse, I don't have any expenses because they feed you and you got a place to stay. But in the in-between times, he said, one time I spent 2 months in a hotel in Kansas just praying. Is this crazy talk? One time I spent 2 months in a hotel in Kansas just praying. And he said, and I wasn't in there the whole time. The Lord then would lead me places, and I would go out and meet people. He said, matter of fact, there were three pastors that I met in Kansas who weren't pastors anymore, but Satan had got a hold of them. And he said, and I'm not bragging. I'm just doing what the Lord tells me to do. But the reason I can't sign with Samaritan's Purse is that you have to commit to a year at a time. And he said, and I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to commit that year, but he still wants me to work for him like crazy through Samaritan's Purse. And one example is these 2 months in Kansas, I go out three different times. I meet pastors who used to be pastors. Now they're not because Satan got a hold of them and they walked away from the Lord. And the Lord used me to lead three pastors back to Him. And they recommitted their lives to Christ after me spending time with them, talking about the Lord, giving testimony. I hope you're not bored right now. I hope you're just taking this in, because the Lord has something for you in this. I'm convinced of it. And so he said, I don't really need any money right now, but the funds are starting to run low. It's been a few years since I got a paycheck. He said, sometimes if I'm somewhere, he said, I've slept in tents and witnessed to people at the campgrounds. He said, I've ate beanie weenies. Just try to save money. And so I take the $500. I shake his hand. I put the $500 in the palm of his hand, shake his hand, and I said, I'm supposed to give you this money. And he puts it in his pocket. And he says, you know, last week, I've got so many stories about him that I could tell you that I know he's telling me the truth. He said, last week, I had a vision that God sent somebody to put money in my hand. I know this sound. I know how this sounds, but I'm telling you that just like my friend Carrie from Haiti says, God still does stuff like this. You and I just don't have our antennas up. There's poor reception. But this week, I had my antennas up. I'm seeking the Lord's will in the midst of cooking eggs and feeding people. That's part of the reason you had me down there. And so I say to David Pirtle, remember, did I like this guy in the beginning? No, not at all. Do you remember? Oh, you didn't have him. You had Tony. You were lucky. You too had Tony. That's right. I forgot about that. We just and that's when we met the woman who needed the help carrying the stuff out of her basement, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah, we were so frustrated one afternoon that we just said to him, listen, we're going to go for a walk because we got to get away from you. We didn't say that. We didn't say because we... That's why we had to go for a walk, but we didn't tell him. Now, God has me sitting in a table at Charleston, West Virginia, handing this guy $500. And I said, and then there's this. I said, I feel like the Lord's telling me He doesn't want you to worry about money. Not that you have. I feel like the Lord's telling me that if your truck breaks down, or if you need anything money-wise, that he wants to provide it for you through me. And it's not going to be my money. I know a lot of people with money that I can ask for money. I mean, if I needed money for me, I know people I could go to get money for me. That's why I would never have to steal any money, because I don't have to. So they'll give it to me. And so I said to David, God wants you doing what you're doing. I'm convinced of that. And he wants you to ask me when you need money, and I'm going to get it for you. And it's not my money, and it's not the people who's given it to you's money. It's God's money. And he wants to provide for you, David, but you have to ask. And so when you ask me, don't look at it as you're asking me and you owe me anything. I'm telling you that the Lord's telling you to ask me, and I'm going to ask them, and he's going to provide it to you. And he's just in amazement. And he said, I'm like, he might register on the autism spectrum. He's like John the Baptist, like wearing the eating locusts. Everybody thinks he's strange. I said to him, you know the scariest part about you, David Pirtle? I said, the Bible says that there's this narrow path and few will find it. And I worry that you're on the narrow path and I'm not. You see what I'm saying? There's going to be all kinds of people who go before the Lord and say, didn't we do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I said to David Pirtle, I am so afraid that I'm just being deceived. Do you ever think about that? If you don't, that should scare you. Do you ever say to yourself, am I being deceived? Because those people going up there, they are shocked when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Am I right? I mean, you know the Bible. Those people think they're okay. You know, when we were in Africa, Diane and I, we were in Ghana, and the people there loved President Obama. And some of them would say to us, oh, do you know, you're from America, do you know President Obama? And we'd say, yes, but he doesn't know us. He can come to my house anytime he wants. I can't really go to his house. We walk through lives with our antennas down. Most of you in here, you had a radio that had the antenna that you could slide down. Am I talking to the right crowd pretty much? Okay, Maddie. Everybody but Maddie. Is there anybody else who doesn't remember? Have you seen one of those? No. Is that amazing? And she's the only one in here, right? Yeah. Even the first cell phones had the low antenna. I mean, I don't want to do anybody else in here a disservice. Oh, you guys. Yeah, okay. You had them. And you got to pull this antenna out in order to get the signal. And you've got the same radio. You push that antenna in. And unless it's right there in front of your face, there's nothing, right? We are like people who walk through life with our antennas down, and the Holy Spirit just cannot get through. This week, somebody said, keep your antennas up because the Lord wants to work through you. And so I spend the whole week going, hey, I got something in my pocket here. Lord, who do you want me to give it to? Do you see how I spent my week? I mean, I'm focusing on food and this and that, but what if you and I left here today knowing we got something in our pocket, we got something in our hearts that the Lord wants us to give to somebody. And you're walking around doing what you're doing. You're going to work. You're going to fire department meetings. You're not getting ready to go back to school. You're going in for treatment still. You're going to the nursing home to visit Louise. You're going to visit Cindy, wherever she is. What if your antennas are up this all the time? That's what I learned this week. Keep your antenna up. If a storm comes through, you might lower it, because those things can get broke off, right? And then you have to put a coat hanger on it, and it looks really funky. And all the people said, when you go out of here, you know that you've got something for the people that God sends in your path. I know I didn't pull out the Bible and read you scripture today, but I preached the Bible to you today. And, yeah, the dude should be writing a book. He's got so many unbelievable stories. And or listening to prayers, or he is like John the Baptist. I'm telling you what, I have just been, I don't know where he's going when they shut down there, but I'm going to see if he'll come up here and preach one Sunday. Oh, I would love for you to hear from him. He has so many stories about how the Lord used him. And here's the thing. I know you got to go and I got to go too. I'm tired. The Lord wants to use you that way too. There's nothing special about David Pirtle. He's not an educated man. He hasn't been to seminary.
On his paper, he wrote YEST. Y-E-S-T. And I told somebody that after 9:30 church, and said, well, how do you spell it? And I don't even want that going on here. If I put this online about his spelling, because he might listen to this.
You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. But the sharpest tool in the shed, if it stays in the shed, then it's worthless. Thank you for... I was wanting to say something there. It's worthless. It doesn't matter how sharp it is. You can sharpen your mind at Bible study, but if you're not going out there telling people about Jesus and seeking and saving that which is lost, it doesn't matter how much information you have. I want for me and I want for you the connection to God that David Pirtle has. John the Baptist. I didn't hear anybody say that, but that's good. I know. Let me pray. Listen. Here's what you heard today. Go out with your antennas up. Go out with your antennas up. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are so awesome and so amazing, and you did all that stuff in the Bible, and that's true, and we want to debate whether Jonah got swallowed up by a big fish and lived in the belly for 3 days, or if he didn't, or we want to debate if you created the earth in 6 days, or if you didn't, or the world, or the universe, or whatever. We want to debate all of this stuff. And the truth is that you can do anything, and yet you choose to do most of your stuff through your people. And we walk around with our heads down and our eyes to the ground and our antennas down, and we miss out on miracles. Miracles that will change us and miracles that will save and change others. Lord, Lord, we're sorry. And I know there are some people in here who want to be used by you even more than they have been. And one of those people is me. So help us, Lord. We can't do it without you. We give you thanks and praise for hearing this request, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And although the closing song would be perfect, I think I want to just take prayer requests and then close with a prayer. I know we had mentioned this morning Louise Brelsford, Imogene Chaney, Heather Mart's family. Eileen White has an appointment this week at Johns Hopkins. Sharon Moore, still going well with your treatments? So Sharon's dad was supposed to be in there 5 to 11 days. The surgery was on Wednesday. He was home on Friday. Skipped the ICU. He said, I don't need no stinking ICU. Yep. Kinsman's. Louise at home? Well, I hope she does find comfort. Yes, I. Yeah. She's still in the hospital. Tom Schaefer, Gene took him to the emergency room early this morning, and I think he's back, and she came in to be, you know, she came in to be with the kids. I think probably that's where she finds her solace. And so the fact that you even have your kids here today, it probably isn't for them as much as it's for Jean. So. So Betty worked the overnight shift, and so that way she could keep the kids and grandkids. She worked on very little sleep. So now you're going to have to work the afternoon shift, 3:30 to 12. That's going to be difficult. Who else? Our military and those who are suffering persecution around the world for the sake of Jesus. And of course, all the flooding down in Louisiana now. Is there any doubt in your mind? I'm not an end times preacher. Jesus coming back tomorrow, so you better get ready, right? I mean, you know me. I'm not. But man, it sure seems like things are going the way that it describes towards the end. And they're probably going right from here to Louisiana.
So just continue to pray for the strength for them and their families and just understanding and just that they can keep going until they need a break. It's hard work dealing with people.
They're like first responders is what they are, except the first responders, they respond and then they go home and it's over. And these are like long-term first responders, these Samaritan's Purse disaster people. And not just Samaritan's Purse, I mean the other groups too. Anyone else before I close in prayer? All right. Hope we see some of you tonight at 7 at the high school. Let me pray. Or any night this week. Heavenly Father, you are in control. And sometimes that doesn't make any sense to us. If we're being honest, sometimes we think we'd do a better job. We wouldn't let all those people in the Charleston area have been flooded and the 20-some killed. And this just all seems like it wasn't a good idea. And then some of us have been able to go down and see your hand at work in the restoration. Louise was mentioned, Lord, and the pain that she has, and you know her heart for you, and you know her love for you, and you know how she has served you, and it doesn't make any sense to us that she would, if you want to take her, Lord, that seems right, but to have her lay and suffer in pain, it doesn't make much sense to us, and yet we still, and same with Cindy. And yet we still, Lord, we have to remember, you're on the throne. You haven't been, the kingdom hasn't been hijacked, that you are still God and you can still do whatever you want. And help us in the midst of these uncertainties and these trials and in the midst of these valleys to to know that you are with us. We pray for Louise and Cindy and all of those on our list that they would, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that you are with them. Your rod and your staff and your hugs will comfort them. And for the rest of us, Lord, send us out of here perceptive. Send us out of here. If we're some of the ones who need help, Lord, help us to ask for it. And if we're some of the ones who seem to just be oblivious to everything, help us to be more perceptive. For your sake, for your glory, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.